This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thank you very much for being here this afternoon. We cover a lot of different subjects in this segment every weekday. And this time of year, periodically, we're able to talk not just with newsmakers and political folks and business leaders, but also talk about arts, entertainment, and community events, some of the big things that are happening in the Umpqua Valley, and that is our focus today. Amethyst Kia on with us now from back in Tennessee, where she makes her home. She'll be out here Friday night to open the Riverbend Live 2023 season out at Winston's Riverbend Park. Amethyst, thanks for being on with us this afternoon.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So talk about your music, first of all, and maybe how old were you when you got interested in becoming a musician?
Well, so the kind of music I do is, it's under the moniker of Americana, which is pretty broad, which I think is kind of the point. So essentially the kind of music I do is a mix of blues, rock, country, folk, just kind of a mix of all those kinds of things. I got interested in music at a really young age. Both of my parents played all kinds of music at the house, so there was always music going at some point. And then when I was 13, my parents bought me an acoustic guitar, and they got me a CD-ROM and DVDs and VHSs, because this was before YouTube. So I learned, I took video lessons and learned how to play. Learned how to read guitar tablature. Was really interested in a lot of like pop rock and alternative music. And then, but I didn't really start actually performing regularly until I was in my early 20s, and I started studying old time music at East Tennessee State University in Johnson City, Tennessee. So yeah, that's when the career, I guess, really started. It was in my early 20s, but so I was a bit of a closet hobby musician before that. So
why the interest? You mentioned the old time type music. What got you interested in that part?
Well, what really drew me to it was a lot of it. I was able to draw a lot of parallels with it to a lot of the alternative music that I was listening to, because usually with like different kinds of alternative music, you have singers and songwriters that are creating music that's a little outside of the box and has a very distinct kind of sound and voice. You know, people like Tori Amos or Bjork or Radiohead, those are kind of the big three for me in high school. But just artists like that had a very distinct sound and voice. And with old-time music, listening to a lot of, especially the field recordings, like before the commercial recording, there was a lot of that distinct kind of sound, because people were playing music based on the communities they were from. So people were able to kind of develop their own styles of playing and singing. So within that, there was that sense of like distinctness and, you know, everybody had a different sound. So there was a lot of parallels there. Also, a lot of the songs that I was listening to in old time were, you know, murder ballads and songs about loss and hard times and sadness and dealing with all of those kinds of things. And that's also what a lot of the alternative music I was listening to also dealt with that. So the mood and the distinctness of sound and authenticity, I found that parallel in both of those music. So not to mention the fact that, you know, alternative music essentially wouldn't exist without old time. So then there was that, you know, sort of like ancestral connection of the music as well. So cool.
So one description I read this morning described your music as Southern Gothic, and I wasn't even sure exactly what that would be.
The way I've described the music, it's always been a bit of a challenge. So I've come up with all these sort of cute little ways of of trying to describe what my sound is. But Southern Gothic is it's a term that's used in literature to describe stories that are set in Southern settings, but have either some sort of supernatural or science fiction kind of backdrop to them. So basically this idea of something that, you know, has on in its background and setting something that seems very familiar, but then there's maybe a macabre or a kind of strangeness or weirdness that's kind of threaded throughout the story. So a murder ballad would be a great example of something that's Southern Gothic, because you've got, you know, this, you know, you've got, you know, usually a very beautiful, emotive, melodic voice singing about something very terrible happening. So that's kind of one example of what that could be like. But essentially the real idea is that I've been drawn to listening to and singing and writing, you know, sad songs or songs about dealing with difficult things. And so that's kind of where I guess the Gothic could come in there. But yeah.
How long did you study music at the university you mentioned?
So I was there I officially declared, you know, my major in bluegrass, old time country music studies, and at around, I'd say 2009, 2010. And I had already, I guess, minored some classes up until that point. So I basically swapped my minor and major, essentially. So I graduated with that degree in 2012. So I say I was probably studying it for about 3 or 4 years, because I changed my major like 2 or 3 times. And so by the time I finally landed on that, you know, I was on my way to being like a 7th year senior. So I had to, I needed to make up my mind, and I finally did in the nick of time so I could get out of college and try to start my life. So,
and then it was about a year later that you had your first recording, right?
Yeah. My full-length self-release came out in 2013, Dig. I did record an EP in 2011 that's not in print at the moment. So I had an EP in 2011 that I recorded with a guy named Martin Walters that actually, he lives out in Jonesboro, and he's like a Grammy-nominated, he's won Grammys for recording, and he plays jazz bass. He actually teaches out at East Tennessee State University. So I recorded with him for my first EP in 2011. And then my 2013 release that everyone's familiar with, Dig, I recorded that at the recording lab at ETSU with a guy named Ben Bateson, who's the recording lab manager and also was my recording engineer teacher. So I got a really nice discount as a student. So I came in with my $450 and we knocked it out in like 4 or 5 days. So, yeah.
So how has your music evolved in the last 10 years since that first recording in 2013?
Well, I think the main evolution of it has sort of been, it's been a reconciliation of my interest in alternative music and my interest in old time music. So because I've always kind of had my toe in different worlds. And I think for me, Wary and Strange was the moment of being able to take those influences and create something that was cohesive, because I had recorded a lot of like more acoustic folk old time stuff. And then I recorded stuff with a band that I played with here in Johnson City. And so I had these two different sets of recordings that sounded totally different and had to figure out a way to like put them together, because for a long time I kind of compartmentalized, you know, my solo shows, I do folk old time, and then on these shows with the band, it's rock shows. And so I was tired of keeping them. I felt like I was
unintentionally keeping them separate. So bringing them together was going to be the best way for me to be able to move forward as a musician. And living by my own word, which is that, you know, if I like it and if it's good, I should do it, and I shouldn't be compartmentalizing things. So really it's like it was a reconciliation of all of the things that have always interested me. And I'm really happy with how it turned out. You know, Tony Berg was a huge help in helping realize how I can make that happen. So
any genres of music you like that are very different from what you like to play?
I've always been a fan of nu metal and Scandinavian symphonic metal. So I was obsessed with like Evanescence in high school. That was one of the bands that I really, really loved. And then I got turned on to another band called Nightwish. They were sort of like Evanescence on steroids because they had like an opera trained soprano singer. They're a band out of Finland, and it was basically like this just amazing power metal, but like it's like if Iron Maiden had an orchestra. That's kind of the sound. So yeah, I've always been a big fan of different kinds of metal. So that might be something that people don't necessarily know, but yeah.
Now, some artists love to create and record. Others like to, you know, go out and perform, and if they could, would spend their whole life on the road. Where do you fit in that mix?
Well, I would say that I'm kind of in the middle, I would say. Like, I do enjoy traveling and playing shows. But like once I'm away from home from like more than 3 weeks, I'm kind of like, you know, 3 weeks is kind of the sweet spot of like, okay, it's time to go home and be at home. And then I also love being in the studio. I've just recently set up a little, like a personal home studio where I now like, I'm kind of practicing, working on learning how to be a producer. That's something that I would like to do in the future. So yeah, I would say that, you know, definitely no more than 3 weeks on the road if I can help it. But with the studio, I mean, I could be in the studio for hours because there's, you know, I think being in the lab is probably a space that I really occupy. But I enjoy both. So I guess ask me in 5 years which side I've landed on, because I'm still sort of deciding, you know.
So when people are looking at their Friday night and thinking about coming out, I know that a lot of people saw you last year here locally at Music on the Half Shell, but others might not have made it to that or been out of town at the time. What can people expect when they come to the River Bend live show with you on Friday night?
Well, I've got a four-piece band, including myself, bass drums, lead guitar player, and I've actually figured out something where I'm gonna have my acoustic guitar, but I'm also gonna have some moments in the set where I'm gonna have like some distortion on it, like it's an electric guitar. I've been working on that today, because I can only bring so many instruments since we're flying in. And that's been really fun. So I've been having fun in the studio with that today. And then I'm also going to have my banjo. So it's going to be a rock show, but there's also going to be some nice country folk moments, you know, kind of in the middle of the set. So we're going to have two rock blocks. And then in the middle, there'll be a nice, like, acoustic set, just to kind of show the breadth of all the things that that I love. So yeah.
Now, I know a lot of artists particularly like playing outdoor summer shows. Do you fit with that?
Yeah, I think it's great. The only thing, I have to remember to bring bug spray because mosquitoes love to just chew me to pieces. So as long as I remember to bring my bug repellent, it's a lot of fun.
Well, I know it's a great venue. The river is nearby and a fun setting. People have liked it for over a quarter century. I wanted to talk about one of the songs that you maybe are most known for, Black Myself, which earned you a Grammy nomination in 2020. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, you know, I wrote that song. I wrote that song originally for a project that I was a part of called Songs of Our Native Daughters with Rhiannon Giddens, who was the brainchild of that project, and Layla McCalla and Allison Russell. And that was an incredible experience to be able to be part of that project. But yeah, I wrote that song for that project. And when I wrote it, my idea was to try to encapsulate like 400 years of history in 3 minutes, because we were talking about the transatlantic slave trade and how that affected relations between Black people and white people throughout throughout that history, through transatlantic and then through the segregation. So that's what the crux of all of that was about. And so with this song, I wanted to try and I wanted to have a song that had some sense of hope. Because with all of the tragedy, there's also a lot of triumph as well, and being able to face adversity, which is essentially what I feel like that whole album really represented, is that being able to face adversity and to overcome things despite things being horrible or horrific, and also paying homage to the people before me that allowed for me to have the life I'm able to have now. So the first verse of Black Myself is from the perspective of an enslaved person, and then the second verse is about it's from the perspective of a person who's no longer enslaved but is still dealing with the repercussions of what slavery established as far as how Black people were viewed and treated, and then the final verse is from my perspective, where I'm now able to be able to travel the world and play music and do what I want to do and, you know, drink out of whatever water fountain I want to and, you know, be able to have these opportunities because of the fight that people put up before. So, but yeah, it's a song about tragedy, but also hope and triumph. And I'm really, really happy that so many people, you know, have responded to it and have been, you know, inspired and moved by it. It really means a lot. So,
all right, we're gonna ask you to stay on the phone as we play it, and then we'll be having a few minutes to wrap up. Amethyst Kia, Friday Night Riverbend Live. Here is Black Myself on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Yeah.
Grammy nomination earned there in 2020, Amethyst Kia on Inside Douglas County. A couple minutes left before we go. A lot of energy in that. Sounds like that's the kind of show people are going to hear on Friday night.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of that. Like I said earlier, mixed in with some, you know, some also some more tender moments as well. So it'll be maybe a bit of an emotional roller coaster of sorts, which is what you want at a show. So
well, and which is what the last few years has been.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's been a really wild ride, but you know, through all of it, like I've learned so much about, you know, who I am as an artist and as a person, and how lucky I am to have friends and family and then my team that works with me, my label, and my band and crew. Just, you know, I feel really lucky to be able to have really good people around me. So yeah. It's great.
And you're going to be out here on Friday night, then up in Portland Saturday, and then it looks like by Monday or Tuesday, you're already back east.
Yeah. Yeah, we're kind of, we're just taking the grand tour of the country. So yeah, we're going to be all over the place, but we're looking forward to it.
All right. Friday night, Riverbend Live, 7 o'clock out in Winston for the concert. First one of the Riverbend Live 2023 season. And I know as part of the board for the organization as well, we're all really excited to have you coming out to start it off on Friday night. Amethyst Kia, thanks for being on with us on the radio today.
Awesome. Thank you. Can't wait to see y'all soon.
All right. 1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.